Anybody got anything in your hands right now? That's exactly how you're going to approach God. Absolutely nothing. Oh, but I've been serving the Lord for many, many years. Yeah. I'm glad. When it's all said and done, you've got nothing. Nothing. Except He who was made sin for you. That's your only hope. That's your only plea. That is your righteousness. That will be your eternal joy. God will eventually strip you of everything. But I remember when I had this experience. I'm glad. I hope it was real. If it was, it will last. But you don't even have that experience to tell or carry before God. A friend that I've known for almost 40 years said to me Friday night, "I hope I make it in." Children, I believe the most awful words. Not somebody calling you and telling you that your child is in critical condition, or that your loved one has been taken. That's bad. That is. But the most awful words you could ever hear would be God say, "Depart from me." So I'll tell you what John read, looking unto Jesus. Someone asked the evangelist of the past, well, two generations ago now, Billy Bray, "What are you going to do if, when you get there, God says, 'Depart,' and He sends you to hell?" He said, I'll go clinging to Jesus. That's all I want you to see. It's all I want you to hope in. That's all I want you to trust in. Him and His finished work." Well, Matthew chapter number 6, and I told you before ever, well, when I got through maybe the first or second there, I had no intention I had no thought of it. Continuing, it may not, I don't know. But I do know that I have spoken to you from Matthew 6:11, and that I said that I would not rehash that I've already given you. I assure you that I will not. Unless the Lord brings something up that I have said. As for that, I can't remember it like I told you. I've had some ask me to save the materials I worked on. So I've arranged them in folders according as they told me on the computer. And then saving them on a little disk drive that in case one gets destroyed. But I really have no interest in yesterday's work. Only as it advances me in today's work. Stale, dry, moldy bread won't help you. You gotta have that fresh bread that's taken out of the oven. One was telling me yesterday, telling me a couple of different ministries that he supported, and one of them was J. Vernon McGee, who's had that through the Bible for, I don't know, he's departed, they still keeping it going, just an exposition. And another was Lester Roloff. They've kept his ministry going. He said, what you think about it? I said, he's dead. His ministry was for that generation. We can benefit from what they said, but you can't live on yesterday's bread, and the church can't survive. It's not Spurgeon's day. It's not John Gill's day. It's, as John was telling you, it's a difficult time. And you got to walk with God in your day. The old man, B.B. Caldwell, said, you got to know the way in which the Redeemer is going in your day, and you got to go with him. And I think he probably borrowed that from Jonathan Edwards, where it's our duty, he said, to know the movement of the Spirit in our day. So you've got to keep looking to Jesus. Matthew 6:11. I want to divide that. Hopefully I'll deal with the latter part later, but just those first four words, give us this day. Holy Father, I have said to your children that they need bread for today. Lord, they came a man get that. We can't ascend to bring it down from heaven. You, the living bread, must come. And as you did those poor, hungry folks, you broke a few loaves, you blessed it, you divided it, and you fed 5,000 men. Don't know how many women, children were there. But I pray you'd break it again, give it and break it again this day. As much as is or would be received and would be used. And as much as the desires of their heart is reaching out to obtain. Grant it this day. And bless it. That it might be appropriated throughout that new creature that you've created within. Building that one up. Strengthening. Enabling to walk. Teaching and enabling them to gather at thy table. Be it here. At home in their closet. Or at their eating table. That we might grow up in thee, and that this people might become that spiritual house where God is known and worshipped, loved, and adored. Now, Holy Father, would you gather our minds in one, call them up unto thee, and would you help us for the greatest workings of Satan or not down in the back alley. Not in the homes of these that do not gather. His greatest activity will be where thy people gather. Let us, with our father Abraham, beat off all the fowls of our sacrifice. We ask in Christ's name and for his great honor and glory. Amen. Give us this day you think that because you are in this 15th day of January 2012, 2012, that you have it. Not necessarily. It may have you. One of the greatest gifts or graces that will ever be put in your hands and at your disposal will be this day. Many folks have got nothing to live upon right now. They got to go back and live in yesterday. The good memories. Or they got to live in the anticipation of tomorrow being a better day. It won't get any better than it is today. I know when I made that statement that some of you are thinking you don't know the inner turmoil. You don't know the outward afflictions that I am in. I'm sure I don't. But God has done all that to help you on. $1 billion industries. Billions, I should say. Industries have been established in my lifetime. And the reason that they have such a great market on the American people is because man isn't satisfied or content within. He can't live, in the day that God has made. There is such an emptiness and such a void within that the hour must be filled up with something which will entertain the mind, which will get me out of my misery. Or he's always looking at tomorrow with plans. You ended last year with plans of this year being better. If you don't watch it, it'll end the same this year as was last year. But quit your anticipations of tomorrow being better. Live in the moment. You need Him this day. And don't try to fill up that void that is there because of His absence with entertainment or whatever. Folk, don't let the gimmicks of the world and of the devil eat away your day. And Proverbs 27:1, do not boast of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Pull your minds in from this afternoon. Pull them out of yesterday. And ask God to give you this day. Psalm 118:24, this is the day which the Lord hath wrought. Prepared, accomplished, as to that the word made usage in other places. When the great architect, God Almighty, before anything ever was, designed the world, worlds, purposed all things, is in the process of bringing forth all things that He purposed. And in the eternal counsel and purpose of God, He has placed you in the best time and in the best circumstances. Possible for this day. Again, your mind's churning. You're thinking it'd be better if I could take one more step and get there. You don't know that. But I do know that the circumstances in which God has arranged in your life is to bring you to that desire that you have to get there. But don't live in the tomorrow and wish away the day. And come time that the eyes shut, having lost it. When David sinned, we got to know how many folks, how many men of war we got in Israel. God put him in a great strait. He said, all right, you got one of three choices. Any of the one was a great judgment of God against Israel because of David's sin. David just finally said, Lord, I just fall into thy hands and I commit it back to you. You make the decision. And Abraham was pleading with God about the righteous being destroyed with the wicked. Genesis 18, and he finally comes down to God and he says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And you and I will begin to base all our judgments from our fallen nature unless grace enables us to see correctly. And your judgment's based upon this. It looks bad. It feels bad. Therefore, it is bad. And you've lost the day. For when you begin to look at things and say, it is bad, because my judgment has made it to be so to me, you already have taken God out of the picture. And when that happens, God's going to leave you alone and you're going to face the trial and the afflictions and the inward condition of your soul, and you're going to face it all alone because you judge the work of God by natural senses. And God's already warned you about that several times. Don't you call good evil. And there's a lot of people that are calling the works of the Holy Spirit the works of the devil because the works that are happening to them has an adverse effect upon the natural man. Be careful, children. Don't you call good evil. Or don't you call evil good. You better stop. Think about it. Reflect upon God sovereignly working that which pleases Him. And collect your thoughts. And then with faithful Abraham, just say, is not the judge of all the earth doing right? And find contentment. And you'll get out of it. Now what is a day, children? I mean, what is a day? In the majority of people's minds, it is a period of time marked by 24 hours. That's man labeling. That's man defining. We don't know when the distinction was made that. I know this. In the beginning, God. This is a very, very crude illustration, and in no way can ever suffice to the eternality of God. But if you could take a string, and beginning in Widawi, encircle the entire globe and bring it back, and put a little dot on the beginning of that string, that was when God stepping out to be known began time. And if you could mark, well, you couldn't. So we'll say 1,000 years is a quarter of an inch or a millimeter. Or smaller than that, so you'd have to get a magnifying glass to see how far the mark was from that initial day when God began to the end of the 1,000 years. We have about 6,000 little marks on that. If you tied it to the doorknob of that building there that's in the media information center, then your little dots would not yet have reached the door. But before there was ever the day to begin, God was. But I really can't use the word was because that intends on God's becoming something that he wasn't. So we'll have to do it as he did. Just tell him I am. To call a day, saying that the pendulum, whoever came up with that the pendulum would start up here at the far end and it'd swing through and come all the way up here to the other end and come to a stop. Whoever figured out that we can get it doing that in a second. And at the end of 3,600 seconds, we'll call that an hour. Man did that. Who decided how many ticks in an hour? How many times that the pendulum would go to the far right, or how many times it would swing back to the far left? And we call that an hour, or a minute, or a millisecond. You think because of all the devices that man has built in our lifetime, that a lot of progress has been made over the centuries when they used to put a stick in the ground. And they would measure the flow of time by the shadow that was on the right side of the stick and on the left side of the stick. And they'd say, by that shadow, this much time has passed, or they'd put up stones. And when the sun hits this stone, then we know that it is this certain period of time in the day. You think we've really made a lot of progress because now all we got to do is lift up our hand and look at our wristwatch that is ticking away. You think we're smart? God told Noah to build an ark. Only thing we know that God told him was it'd be longer than a football field and a half. It wasn't until the latter part of 2 centuries ago that man had built an ocean-going vessel that size. God told him how long, God told him how high, and how wide. Noah had to be intelligent enough to know that on the bottom floor I've got to have 4x6s, 4x8s, or whatever, and they've got to be spaced 2 or 4 feet apart or whatever. And on the second floor and on the third floor. You think we've made a lot of progress? Not really. We have, as far as things go, that have been invented to eat up our time. They still are baffled by the pyramids in Egypt. How in the world did they build them that high and that wide? And them still be there. Your calendar for 2012, I think, has marked on that 366 days. We can't even get that right. We decided we'd call a year 365 days, but really, really we found out that 365 days is not accurate, because there are 6 more hours in a day than we've put in it. We're not like the Indians that would mark off periods of time by the changes of the moon, 4 moons ago, or 6 moons ago, or 2 moons ago. We now go by the calendar to determine what a week is and what a year is. Who decided what the first month would be and the first day of the month would be? Every civilization has had their own beginning of months and their own beginning of the first day. We say that 10 days after the solstice, after the winter solstice, then that'll be our beginning of a new year. God's beginning. Getting you out of this thing that is gobbling up your days, months, and years. Getting you out of this thing that is marking off the first day down to the 15th day of January, because they're gone. Getting out of all this. Let's go back and see how God did it. What God used to determine. Exodus, you don't need to turn. Chapter 12, this month. This month shall be to you the beginning of months. Why? Because this was the month of the year that you came out of Egypt. Let's mark your time from where God delivered you. Let's keep that in remembrance. And let's put that the first day of your life, for really it was the first day of your life. Oh, the time that has been gobbled up. But that which has absolutely no effect upon God's beginning month. Remember Toby talking to you about this 2 or 3 weeks ago? Okay, this is a month. God narrowed it down to a day. Exodus 13, this day came you out in the month of Abib. Green ears of corn. That was your beginning. When the corn was beginning to fill out, and maturing, and then you gathered it dead, grinding it to a fine powder and baking it to be your bread. This, make this the first day of the first month at even shall be the Lord's Passover. Because God's beginning is noted by God's dealings with you. First day, it's the Lord's Passover. On the 14th day, it's the Lord's Passover. 14th day of the first month that you came out. Mark it down. Keep it in remembrance. Pass it on to your children and to their children and to their children. Set of these stones this day, crossing over Jordan, that your children may know. Children, if time lasts, there's coming a day when there won't be anything within these walls except a form of religion, if it's even that. Hopefully it'll go on for the next generation and the generation after that. But one day the gospel will be through in Randolph County. You pick up that hymn book every Sunday. You ask me, see, what she raised her children on. And you ask her about the building there today. It's still a building. And you look around at all the steeple houses that are full this day. But the Lord's Passover has become the Passover of the Jews. And all of them will leave somewhat satisfied because they have performed their little religious duties. Oh, my soul. When that great multitude stands before God, that have been faithful to a form, but had no life. And he says, depart. In the beginning, that first dot, on that string that you've got run around the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and darkness, and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. We're going to bring in to mark out the first day, to mark out the beginning. We're going to bring in light. And God saw the light that it was good. But God divided the light because the light didn't get rid of the darkness. But God created the light, and the light shining in a particular place moved the darkness off to another region. Go down in the jungles of Africa and see them headhunters or some other jungles and see where they'll sacrifice their firstborn or they'll eat flesh. Ask them what's happened. Think that they've always been like that. No, there was a day in the life of those people when the light of God shined. And it moved the darkness out of that area. And now go to England. All those mighty theologians. And now it's nothing but a den of wild animals in the shape of human beings. One was telling me week before, might have been last week, that a group of people carried to court a woman who had trained a baboon. Just did anything she wanted to do. And this group of people decided that they didn't want her looking after a baboon, and they carried it to court, and they asked the judge to declare that that baboon was a human being. If he declared that, then they could take it away from her. And he said, there's not any precedence for me to do what you're asking me to do. And they said, yes, it is. In England, they have already done this. You're talking about darkness. But in the beginning, God created the light, and he saw that the light was good. And that light moved the darkness off into a specified area of the Lord's choosing. And God called the light day. And the darkness got called night. But now wait just a minute. A day is not the time from the sun coming up to the sun going down. For in the same verse he said, and the evening and the morning were the first day. I want you to get beyond the literal words. I want you to get to the spiritual message contained in the Word of God. For the day and the night is far more than hours of sun shining or the sun going down in us in darkness. Get the spiritual significance of it. What's a day? Or it's just this amount of time. Come on, children. It's more than the amount of time allotted on the 15th day of January, marked by our calendars and by our clocks. The world, you, your environment, your needs, have always been in the mind of God. And he made a day, and he's given you months, and he's given you years, and he's always, always made that which is best suited for you. Oh, if I wasn't such a great sinner. Please do not interpret this as me saying go out there and sin, because God will make grace abound. If I wasn't such a great sinner, I'd like to find some great sinners today. And God shined light in their hearts. And God set them in the midst of us. What a reflection it would be as we saw their love, and their joy, and their worship. But God divided the first day into light and dark. And he marked it off because that's what you would need when you got here. He determined your light and your darkness. And he fixed because you needed darkness. You go to work and never how many hours you have to labor, and the body runs out of energy and strength. It diminishes. And you need a period of time when God pulls the shades down and there can't be any activity. And the mind rests, the heart slows down and it rests to a degree. And the blood pressure and the muscles relax because you needed night. You say I need darkness. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then God stuck one day in your 7 days. Because if a man carries on a routine day after day after day and it's never broken, your life shortened. So God, He didn't make you for this day. Mark 2, He made this day for you so you quit work, so your mind could get off of everything else and you could rest. But the night He made also for you. See, you need darkness. A man or woman walking in the path of obedience has the light of God shed on their pathway. When they sin and rebel, darkness moves in. But do not think that all darkness in your life is due to sin or rebellion. Some of it is, not all of it. The judgment of God over the land of Egypt because of their stiff-necked rebellion, hard-heartedness. For 3 days and 3 nights, the darkness was so great that they couldn't move from where they were. If the woman was in the kitchen, that's where she was when the light came back. If the man was down in the barn looking after animals, that's where he was when the light came back up. Jesus Christ was born in the night. Because darkness had been over the land of Israel for 400 years. The opening of the Word of God shines light. They had the Word of God, but they didn't have anybody to interpret it. And darkness abounded, so Jesus was born in the dark hour of the night. The shepherds were in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. No light there. We may not have great, I think we've got much light in comparison. But I think it can be greater. Open thou my understanding. You've got to have eyes. Now I know that over 90%, or it was 20 years ago, over 90% of the people that are declared totally blind can distinguish between light and dark. But you've got to have eyes. Open thou mine eyes, Psalm 119, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Luke 24, then Jesus opened their understanding. It's not only necessary for God to send the Word. It is necessary when this light goes out that God gives you understanding. And that God opens your understanding and that God gives you eyes to see. And that you can look beyond the literal 12-hour dark period or 12-hour day period. And you can see that in the spiritual realm and its significance to you. And then that night, when the angel said, "Lo, there's born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord," the day star came up. Light shined in the hearts of those shepherds, and they said, "Let's go see." The day star arose. The star arose that day when you felt you were such a sinner. God had to do that. And God had to work in your heart to keep following that star like the wise men till you get where the Christ child was born. Now you see, by light you see, in thy light we shall see light. And by light, they saw the light of God, Christ Jesus. Oh, when they got there, it's still dark around, but not to them. When Jesus was born, Israel was still in darkness. But the light had shined in old Simeon's heart. And Anna. And Mary. She didn't fully understand. But she kept all those things and she pondered them. Until her pondering turned into light. Keep on pondering. See, children, darkness is needed in your life, in the spiritual, because it manifests light coming out. And you wouldn't know what light was if you didn't know what darkness was. And some of you say, I've been in such great darkness. I say, that sure is good. I know you don't know what I'm talking about to the extent I'm saying it, because naturally I just said, well, you wishing all the... No, you had to know what light was to know you're in darkness. For 3 years, light was in the world. They rejoiced in the light of John. But when the light was among them, they found out that they loved their wickedness. And they hated the light because it exposed. And so they put out the light of the world. No wonder darkness covered this earth when Jesus died. Darkness is needed. Let me warn you of one other thing. Now when Jesus was 12 years of age, his mother, Joseph, went down to perform that which God had established. They did their religious deeds and they left, supposing him to be in their company. Quit supposing. And make sure he's in your company. What marks a day? Well, according to what? No. Today, if you hear, light's here. Today, if you hear, light's around, if you hear. That light might stay 6 months, a year. But there comes a time when those that do not appreciate and those that hear but do not yield, there comes a time when God says that's the end. And they begin in a path of downward darkness to end up eating their own children or sacrificing them. The day is when the light's going out and shining in your heart. What marks an hour? You say 60 minutes. Wrong again. Jesus, the great Lord, handed into the hands of wicked men He said, now this is your hour. You think they got through what they were going to do in an hour? No, quit marking it by the tick-tocks of the clock. But my beating, whipping, crowning with thorns, sending him from one place to the other, ripping off a robe they placed on him to mock him, tang, open the wounds again. You think it was done in 60 minutes? Many, many hours. But it was a short space of time, he said. So it was night when the captors came. Because they came with torches, lanterns. It was night when they brought him in the judgment hall. Because the sun had gone down. And God had given into their hands nighttime. Soldiers, those around had to keep warm, it's wintertime, by fire. Not only darkness, but coldness in that place. Today, to every single individual soul in here, there is light. You better walk in it. These fellows give you a devotion. We open that hymn. We better hear. To the message, we better hear. And we better walk in it. God's giving you the day to work. Night's coming. God's given you a period of time to accomplish your duty both to God and to man. Night's coming when no man can work. It came to pass in the eventide, or evening, I don't remember. David got off his bed and walked on his roof. You know the rest of the story. It was darkness in his life. He wasn't where he's supposed to be. Army down fighting and the captain was home in the bed. Even time. David arose. If there had been light, there would not have been that temptation. But he chose comfort instead of the battlefield. Throughout your life, your children, there will be periods of light and there will be periods of darkness. Don't make any strange fires in your period of darkness. That's why the harlot houses can have so many. Because she's built her own fire. And they think because their flesh was excited and all that they really had a good meeting today. You're going to go through periods of darkness, just sit still. Pray, wait on God, the sun will come up again. But every last one of us are approaching an eternal day or night. Your day began when God shined light into your heart. If you don't enter glory, the degrees of hell will be dependent upon the amount of light you received and did not act upon it. But to you who know Him, your day, that month and that day of that year began when God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined into your heart to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What day is it in your life? I'll give you two last verses for you to read with me and ask you to turn today. Revelation 21. Do you see why Jesus has taught you to pray? Father, give me this day. And that it does not mean that when you wake up in the morning, you start rejoicing because God's given you another day. But it means you wake up in the morning and the mind and the heart run out to God for His mercies in causing the capital S-U-N to arise. That's your day. That's what you're praying for. Well, Lord, give me the day because I got 1,001 things I got to get done. You might have a lot. Don't take on extra. Because your mind is a little uneasy. Or because you want to fill up time. Let's do what's required of you. And look to God for that day. Revelation 21. 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Can I just give you a little of that that I can't talk much about to anybody? I am pretty certain that there's coming a time in the life of that generation that will not go through death. When they will have once again what John was talking about in Acts today. That latter rain. You know when Christ talked about the sun being darkened and the moon not giving her light, He's not talking about literal things. He's talking about something like this. And the city, the church of the living God, had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine. Because you've gotten beyond the ABCs of the Scripture, and God has taught you spiritually. Now you see that the S-U-N up there is really the S-O-N. And that the literal rays of light that beam down are spiritually Heaven's light shining in your soul. Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations, verse 24, of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. Why? Because there's no night. If you're in darkness, you have to enclose yourself. Come in, my people, into the little chamber and wait until the wrath and indignation of God's passed over this earth. It's coming. It's here. Come into the chambers and shut your doors to God's wrath. Has worked out there. The gate, but listen, you're going to step into a day when you aren't enclosed. There'll never be darkness. No night there. In Revelation 22:5, there shall be no night there. They need no candle, May the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign. You tell me how in God's name in a worm an old fat chicken running around in the barnyard picking up whatever can be transformed into an eagle or a worm can be brought up to be the sons and daughters of God. You tell me how that can be. I can't understand it. But God added one thing more. They shall reign. You are kings now. Live as if you have royal blood flowing through you. You are priests now. Father, give us this day. Tim, will you come and lead us in our closing hymn?